Welcome to Those Gals at Work, the podcast where two female entrepreneurs keep it real while navigating the world of business. I'm Kayla, your money gal.
And I'm Sadie, your marketing gal. We get the struggles of owning a business, paying ourselves what we're worth, all while serving our clients.
Join us as we tackle topics like personal growth, business strategies, and work-life balance.
Or lack thereof.
From money
to marketing and everything in between, we are Those Gals at Work. So why is bookkeeping important, Kayla?
Did you know that it's actually required by the IRS to do bookkeeping for your business?
I mean, I know that you have to do your taxes every year, so that makes good sense that you have to do your bookkeeping. But like when you said that, I was like, well, did you know? No.
Well, and the funny thing is, it's like a majority of people, you know, they collect their receipts in their shoebox, and then they, or at least this was how it used to be, and now they collect it maybe on their phone, hopefully, in one way or another. And then they bring it to their CPA or their tax preparer, and they're like, here you go. And then their tax preparer takes extra hours right before they file their taxes to organize all of these into the certain buckets that they should. So why not save yourself some money and do that throughout the year rather than just collecting?
Also, I feel like that just seems like a great way to miss things if you're like, just 100%. Digging through paper, because like, I don't know about you, but if I'm trying to find something on my desk and there's 1,000 loose papers, it's like way harder for me to find it. And that's like low stakes. Yes. Looking for paper, not high stakes related to my taxes. So makes sense that you need a book.
Yeah, I don't even take actual receipts anymore. I refuse to have more paper. One, because I'm anti-paper. And two, because I already have enough on my desk, but there's now services where you can actually send your shoebox of receipts, your plastic bag, whatever you have, and have them every single one scanned, and then we can upload it right into QuickBooks.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it does make it a lot easier, and I feel like people get super hung up on needing the paper for some reason still, just because that's how they've always seen people do it, I feel like, in movies. I don't know. Like, I think about that movie Dodgeball. The beginning when he literally has a huge mess of receipts and she's like, you need to figure this out or else your gym's gonna collapse.
Well, and gym owners, they're a special kind. That's my other business.
Yeah, that's why it's funny. Oh my gosh. Well, this is gonna be a good episode. We're gonna be talking a lot more about bookkeeping and why bookkeeping is important. We're gonna do it a little bit different this episode. More interview style. So my name's Sadie. I'm your marketing gal. Welcome to Those Gals at Work. And I'm going to be interviewing the lovely Kayla, our money gal. Let's jump in. If you were just starting out, where would you start?
God, that's a loaded question. It really depends on the business itself and what your goals are for the business. So if you're looking to grow and scale quickly, I'd say go ahead and hop right into QuickBooks or some sort of bookkeeping software so that it can grow with you. If you are just going to be a 1099 for quite a while, then something like Wave Apps that's free and you can invoice your clients, that's going to be the better option for you. And sometimes it's just an Excel sheet and you're just tracking every single one of your expenses and a folder in the cloud where you're uploading every single one of your receipts and your bank statements. But the first thing you got to do, no matter what you do, is separate your personal from your business and open a business.
Literally, thank you for saying that. As someone who's worked with you for a year now on my bookkeeping and getting all of my things perfectly in order, you've done a big cleanup for me before. I think the smartest thing I did right from the beginning was just never once have overlap of personal and business. I just instantly got that QuickBooks Online account. Just like you said, they give you the little debit card and it just keeps everything so nice and separate. So I totally agree.
Yeah. And you don't even have to use QuickBooks checking. You can use whatever checking account you want. But the big thing there is not only does it make it more organized and clean so you actually know what's going on in your business, it actually takes away some liability, especially as you grow and you become an LLC and you separate your personal from your business. If you actually have more personal mixed into your business enough in that LLC, and knock on wood, you were to get sued, they can actually bring your personal assets in even though you're an LLC. So separating, it's so important. It's just so
important. Why did you pick QuickBooks Online specifically?
So when I first started, I trained specifically with the CPA that I trained with in QuickBooks Online. But we also had the opportunity in the program to be FreshBooks as well as Xero. And we did talk about the other softwares. But in my first year of business, somebody said, choose one thing that you're good at and be really fucking good at it for a year. And then in a year, if you decide I need to expand into other softwares, then that's what you need to do. And so when I was dabbling into those other softwares like FreshBooks and Xero, FreshBooks, I just didn't feel like scaled enough for the clients that I was going for. And Xero, I wanted to throw against the wall. It was so old school and it just not intuitive to me by any means. So I said, no more Xero.
And here's the question that I have about QuickBooks Online versus desktop, because I always see them listed separately. Why is that? As someone who only uses QuickBooks Online, like, shouldn't I just be able to open the desktop version and it's the same, or is it like super different?
No, they are two completely different monsters. I don't even work in desktop. The only time I ever work in desktop is actually transitioning from a desktop to online and then just pulling the reports from whatever we
have. So,
because
why would someone pick?
They look.
Why would
so
someone
different.
Pick? Desktop over online.
Love you CPAs, love you old bookkeepers, but they are the ones that recommend it because that's what they're used to. That's the player that's been in the game the longest, and that's what they're used to. It is more robust and more like it's more accountant feel than it is your everyday business owner feel, in my opinion. So online, to me, it's so much more user-friendly. The user experience is so much better. That said, they change it all the time. So it is changing, you know, on the weekly, just like any other website software is. While desktop, you kind of buy it for the year and it kind of stays the same, but you still need a subscription like you need online. And ever since I've started, so it's, you know, been 4 years that I've been working in QuickBooks Online specifically, they have continually said in the sales, in, you know, support, everybody is pushing to online, including Intuit. And so desktop is going to be a non-existent thing in the next 5 years.
Well, so you're ahead of the game.
But
that's good.
Yeah. Well, exactly. But the other part about it is it's just not as robust as your QuickBooks desktop. So if you're looking at more inventory stuff, QuickBooks Online isn't quite there yet, while desktop is. That said, I think you can do your inventory
in other ways with more specific platforms made for inventory.
Yes, exactly. Like Shopify or WooCommerce, Square actually has an amazing inventory. So it really just it's not needed. And that's also why you do QuickBooks Online, because it integrates so well with all the softwares that we use.
So let me ask you another question. So I use a CPA. I know specifically how they help me at different times during the year. But for the people listening who only have a CPA, maybe have not yet opted in for a bookkeeper, explain to us how a bookkeeper specifically can help me as a business owner.
So first things first, we actually keep your CPA bill down lower because we have organized your money throughout the year. So think of us more like the organizer for your money than your person that's going to help you with your tax strategy for you and your business and your personal life. So we organize your money, and then we also help you understand those reports, either on a weekly or monthly basis, whatever your services are with us. And then we help you know where your money went for the previous month and the previous year, as well as how much of your money did you spend in certain buckets like advertising or payroll. And we also look at where can you cut expenses as well. And then because we're in multiple businesses, if you're paying stupid amounts of money for electricity versus your same company, your competitor, I guess, then we can also look at that and say, maybe we need to talk about electricity is a bad example, If you are paying more in a software that your competitor is also using, then we can actually help you say, like, we need to probably negotiate this because your competitor is paying, you know, $100 less than you, and there's $100.
So it kind of sounds like a bookkeeper is great to help more often, more frequently. In an ideal world, you're helping us monthly by reconciliation, by helping us understand those reports, how to even pull a report, keeping our receipts and things categorized correctly, yep, versus a CPA we're working with more annually or biannually on those bigger projects,
or even quarterly
on like those big tax projects. But you, the bookkeeper, and our CPA often work in tandem in an ideal world.
Absolutely. In an ideal world, we work together. And, you know, that in an
as someone who works with Kayla as a bookkeeper for the last year, she works beautifully in tandem with my CPA, and it's been a game changer for my business. Everything she said was straight facts. She helps manage my money throughout the year and calls things out and keeps it organized and buttoned up. It's invaluable. It's one of the biggest investments to make in your company, but it also like relieves the most stress from the business owner's plate, because managing money already like as a person is really difficult, just like individually. So doing it for your business is like way higher stakes. And to have help from someone who specializes like you is very worthy.
Well, and you didn't get into business to be a bookkeeper. You got in business.
I love saying that to people. You didn't get into the business of filling whatever you do here to do all the other tasks you don't want to do. Like, I did not start doing design to run payroll. Like, that just wasn't, I mean, I'm happy to run it, but like, I'd rather do the design. Anyways, tell me more about how you got started in bookkeeping. You know, in our first episode, you mentioned that you were a meteorologist in a past career. And so that's quite a transition to being a bookkeeper. I'd love to hear more about how you got started officially.
Yeah. So I went to college my entire life. I thought I was going to be a meteorologist, go on TV. TV just really wasn't for me at the end of the day. And a lot of that had to do with the crazy hours and little pay. But what I did is I kind of transitioned over into property management. At the time, because the nice thing about TV and meteorology is I actually worked all over the country. I got to experience basically all of the Midwest. And then I moved to Oregon, and then I was going to move back to the Bay Area, which is where I went to college. I went to San Jose State. I have a degree in meteorology and a minor in journalism. And then I'm one class shy of a math minor. Anyway, what I did is I moved back to the Bay Area and I fell into property management. I was like, I could sell apartments. This is easy. And sure enough, it was for me. I moved up very quickly. And with that, I got more responsibility, got to see the books. My final job, I was community manager. I oversaw anywhere from 769 units to as small as 218 units. And so I got to see the books at a larger level and a smaller level, and coordinate all the projects that were going on. So not only did I oversee sales, I oversaw the maintenance, I oversaw the rent, I oversaw the financing. So it was like all of these hats that I did. And I used to always think, God, how nice would it be to just be a bookkeeper? Like, how nice
just
that
one part and of the pie.
Yes, exactly. Because I loved doing the variance reports. It sucked because it was always me taking away from my actual duties. And it took me, you know, a day to do them. But my maintenance manager always would be like, you complain the least about this report compared to any other community manager I've talked to, as well as you do it the fastest. And I was like, yeah.
You're like hair flint.
It makes sense. Like, why wouldn't you do this as a business owner? Especially when you have multiple properties. Like, you need to do this. So the pandemic hit. I was pregnant at the time. And I was like, I cannot do this. My husband actually started a personal training business, basically, where he would rent some space and he would have clients come to him. And of course, the pandemic hit and he couldn't work anymore. But we had a baby. 2 weeks later, the pandemic hit. And then 3 months later, we decided we hate the Bay Area and we want to move to Reno. And there's a lot of reasons why we moved to Reno, but Grady got a job in the in an actual gym for a while and to supplement my income, I need to find something to do. And I remember doing our taxes for the first time, and he was one of those business owners that mixed in all the personal into the business. And so I went to go do our taxes, and I was like, how much did you spend in advertising? I don't know. So I literally had to go through every single one of our personal bank statements and say, okay, this was for the gym, this was our personal. And I had to separate all of it to figure out how to do our taxes. And I was like, you cannot be the only one that does.
No, he's
this.
Not.
And most sure enough, that other people. Yeah, sure enough, he's not. I literally just did a cleanup where that was exactly why I did the cleanup, was because we had separated. So I kept getting these ads for Bookkeeper Training School with Kristen Ingram, and she's an amazing CPA over in Connecticut. She has this amazing Bookkeeper Training School. And she's like, in 60 days, basically, you can have a business. And sure, and it was like 1 hour a day for 60 days I trained. And I did do it in chunks, more like 3 hours a day for a few weeks. I officially started in August of 2020, but launched the business in October and got my first client in October.
Boom.
So it did end up being about those 60
days. Here we are in 2024. You're doing the damn thing full time. You got people who work on your team. You have clients in the state and out of the state. It's badass, dude.
Yeah.
What's your favorite service that you offer to in all of that? Because that was a great story. And I'm sure with all of the different experience you've had along the way, you definitely have a favorite thing that you offer now that you've been in it for a while.
Yeah. So my favorite way to get a client is usually through the cleanup, which we can do in my actual favorite, which is the VIP day. And I think it's my favorite for multiple reasons. One, that VIP day can be whatever you want and whatever your business needs right now. So we could do a cleanup, and we could, you know, what we do is we kind of connect in the morning. We connect before and we say, okay, how do you want to use your VIP day? And then if you choose a cleanup, we connect multiple times throughout the day. The first one being, you know, how does this work for you and your business? And how do we make your books look that way, basically? And then we connect halfway through the day, help with the categorization. And then at the end of the day, I teach you how to do it if you want to continue DIYing it. Or you can use your VIP day for profit first and strategizing and looking at where your business is right now and where to go forward, and doing an expense audit and me saying, you know, you keep justifying this expense, but do you really need it? Is this allowing you to be the most creative in your business? So it's just so much more personal. And on top of it, on my VIP days, I literally turn on Do Not Disturb, and no one, I don't talk to anyone else but you for the day.
Wow. Well, that sounds freaking awesome. You mentioned profit first in there. That is a very new concept for most people, because there's not a lot of specialists like you that are involved in Profit First. I'd love for you to tell all of us more about what that is and what it means. And
yeah, so I am a Profit First professional, which means I'm one of less than 400 in the country. And it's based on Profit First by Mike Michalowicz. So Mike Michalowicz, you know, wrote this book, Profit First, and it was all basically after he hit rock bottom as an entrepreneur, really talks about how he changed the way he did banking, essentially, and bookkeeping to make his business work for him, for his money to work for him. And the kind of the basics behind it is we leverage your current habits rather than looking at your books. Because
I'd rather work off of reality than ideal world at the moment.
Exactly. And we leverage the everyday human being behavior. And so kind of the idea is that really his thought process behind it is the everyday person, if you're not an accountant, doesn't know how to read a balance sheet, doesn't know how to read a profit and loss or a cash flow statement. Because if you ask your accountant, like, how much money do I have right now and can I pay this? Those are the three reports that they pull.
Say those again.
But you're not.
Say those three reports again.
The balance sheet, the profit and loss, and the cash flow statement.
Write those down, people. Pull those reports.
Which those are very important. And I pull those for my clients every single month because they are important. And that's how we do our taxes as well. And we pull, you know, a few more reports as we're doing your taxes. But where I was going with that is majority of my clients don't know how to read it, don't know how to double check me. And I will forever continually educate my clients on that. But in the Profit First philosophy is we break up your income into multiple accounts. So that you know, so that you automatically are saving for profit, you're automatically saving for taxes for when Uncle Sam comes knocking, you're automatically putting money in your pocket first, and then whatever is left over is your operating expenses. So your idea of accounting is sales less expenses equals profit. Profit First switches that, and then sales less profit equals your expenses. And so once we put our profit first, we're actually putting money in our pockets first, and then we can actually be more innovative with our expenses.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been testing out Profit First with Kayla for a while, and it's definitely interesting to see money split up so specifically, but it puts a lot of things into perspective where you need to cut and where you need to focus. So there's a lot of value add there,
exactly.
But it's definitely a learning curve. And you need to have a qualified professional help you with it. This is not something you just like casually figure out DIY.
Well, and if you go, the big thing that Profit First says in the book is like, these are your target allocated percentages of your income to go into taxes, profit, operating expenses, owner's comp. And if you just jump right in to going to those target allocated percentages, one, it's not going to help you be sustainable as a business. And you're also going to continue to rob Peter to pay Paul as you do this. So working with a professional like myself, we baby step you into these percentages for where you are in business right now. So you can slowly pay yourself more, slowly save more for profit, slowly save for taxes, because your business should be paying your taxes at the end of the day. Now it's ultimately for tax purposes, it's your owner's comp, but still, we shouldn't be taking it out of your own personal pocket.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If you guys want to learn more about Profit First, definitely reach out to Kayla. She can talk your ear off about so many things about it. She's had to do training. She's read a lot. She's taken classes. Like, the girl's educated about it. So definitely reach out to her. I'd love to know more about who specifically your ideal client is. We talked about how you find them, but who is the ideal client for you?
I love your online service provider, your gyms, estheticians, the health and beauty industry. I definitely have found a little niche in because I live with one. But I've worked with preschools. I've worked with mortgage providers, loans, and insurance agents is also another one I've kind of found myself with multiple of those. So really your service-based or entrepreneurs and small businesses is where I go for. So if you have inventory, I tend to avoid you, but I do have a couple of those. And same for sales tax. If you have sales tax, I tend to avoid you. But again, that's something that I can help you with and I work with you. In fact, you know, say to you, this year, you're starting sales tax, so I'm working with you and I'm continuing to do that. So it is something that we can help.
Fabulous. You've given us a lot of great information. Here's a great question for you. Why would someone not want to just DIY their bookkeeping?
So you can absolutely start with DIY. If you're working in QuickBooks Online, you probably know enough to screw it up. So that's going to be your first reason why you don't want to DIY it. The second one is mostly because we, especially if you work with somebody that has niched down into your specific business, they have multiple of you and they can really look at your expenses and be like, hey, you're paying way too much. As well as you have somebody like me that can strategize with you to make your business more sustainable. So you're also getting that consulting aspect and another hat in your, or another, you know, person on your board, quote unquote, to help you grow your business.
If you were not a bookkeeper, I know you've listed some other careers that you've had during your story of how you got to where you are today. Considering all of that, if you were not a bookkeeper, what would you be instead?
I think I would be a psychologist. And I think that's also why I love Profit First so much, is because it's so much more about your money behavior. But I always said, in my senior year, I took a psychology class And I always said if I would have taken this my freshman year, I would have switched majors. And this is what I would have been done.
Interesting. Okay. I love that answer.
Yeah.
Where can we find you online? How can we reach you?
Totally. So, of course, on Instagram, I'm at KCVBookkeeping. And I also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/KCVirtualBookkeeping. And on my website, kcvirtualbookkeeping.com. And on the top right, there's that book, that free consultation. You apply and it sends you over to my calendar and we can have a 15-minute chat about how we can help you.
Incredible. Well, this was an awesome interview. I loved getting to hear more of these details about how you got here and how you do what you do. I love that. Thanks for letting me question you for a half an hour. But I'm Sadie. I'm your marketing gal.
And I'm Kayla, your money gal.
Together, we are those gals at work. Thank you so much for listening. Tune in next time. Bye.
Bye.